Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mike Giardi, the NFL Network, joins us here on the Harbaugh Hotline. He's been reporting on a lot of this stuff. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mike.
Where do you go with Antonio Brown? How long is the list of teams interested in his services for this year?
Seattle is definitely interested. Baltimore has been kicking around, and we know that Tom Brady is continuing to knock on Bruce Arians' door, if you will, figuratively, literally, whatever, and trying to convince him that that's a play there. The Bucs have clearly said no repeatedly, but you know, who knows? Maybe Brady wears him down. Look, you see the video of him working out with Russell Wilson.
Yep.
I think Seattle feels good about the culture that they have there. The quarterback, the coach, you know, they run a little bit of a looser ship than some. So I don't know if that's necessarily the best marriage for him, but I'm pretty certain that if they can get all this legal stuff cleared away, that he's going to end up back in the league this year. And, you know, whether it's his final strike, I don't know, but it certainly seems like it's trending that way.
You didn't say the Patriots, Mike. Would they be interested?
No.
Why not?
No. Well, I mean, let's not forget the going out the door and taking shots at Kraft. And I know, much like he did with every tweet and Instagram post in the last year that was negative, he deleted it, but it was up there long enough for the world to see. I think that was just I just don't think that's an avenue that they want to go back down again.
He might be remorseful, Mike. We don't know. But when you think about Cam Newton, right? And
he could be remorseful. But I mean, you know,
Robert's got a big heart. And Robert is definitely could be a forgiveful person. So who knows?
Yeah, but he had a big heart, but he gave him a lot of money that has for 13 days or whatever it was here in New England. I don't see it.
Don't crush my dreams, Mike. Let me enjoy this moment while I have it.
Now, all right, I'm sorry, Rich.
When you look at Cam Newton, right, and you look at the Patriots obviously making the move to go get a guy like him, where does this put the Jared Stidham conversation, right? Because, you know, most people think that Cam is the guy. Is there still a legitimate chance that Jared Stidham could have an opportunity to be the starter come week one?
Well, I mean, he could be, right? He has to beat him out, because I don't think now, you know, you can say, well, there was nothing promised. And of course, the Patriots never really promise you anything. You're here, you're on the team, you're one of 53. Let's go. But Cam is someone who walks in the room and immediately people gravitate toward and they look to as the guy. I think that's why some teams didn't bring him in other places, Chicago being one, because they still want Trubisky to be the starter. If you bring in Cam, the whole team's going to be like, Cam on his worst day is better than Mitch on his best day, you know? So there is no competition. Here, I think it's sort of a similar thing, with the one caveat being we don't know, you know, obviously the video looks good, but we don't know how healthy Cam is, how strong the arm is, and that was a problem for him in 2018, and obviously how quickly can he pick things up without having an off season with the team. So, Stidham does have some advantages in that regard, but I just think from a sheer talent, gravitational pull, whatever you want to say it, I think Cam is the guy. And, to me, this is a great test for Stidham, though, because, look, when he comes in last year, he's not beating out Tom Brady. We all know he's not beating out Tom Brady. So you learn, you observe, you know, he got more first team reps because Brady didn't always practice, all those sorts of things. but there was no competition there. I guess competition with Brian Hoyer, and let's face it, Brian is what he is. This is sort of a competition. This sort of forces a little bit like, all right, show me something now. Because you thought maybe you were going to be the guy, and now we're telling you Cam Newton's here. So, okay, you know, like, put your chips on the table. Show me what you got. Try to convince the teammates that, you know, maybe the gravitational pull is over there, but I'm the better quarterback now. I mean, that's I think, probably what they're hoping for. You know, some sort of whatever, buck up from Stidham saying that this is my team. So I think that'll be the interesting thing if and when we ever get to camp.
Yeah, Mike, we were discussing that Diana Russini report yesterday, though, about how there's an AFC East coach who said, make no mistake, this could be a rotation or utilization of all the quarterbacks because the Patriots love Stidham. Have you heard all of the same love letters coming out of Foxborough for Stidham? Would they have been perfectly happy to go into the season with Jarrett as the starter had Cam Newton not just presented himself at such a Belichick-friendly, unbelievable value?
I think they would have been fine, but I think that they sort of gave you indication even on draft weekend when they didn't take one, when Belichick was like, well, you know, it didn't necessarily go the way we thought it would go, and while we like our room, you know, we don't rule anything out. And I think when I asked about Cam at various points during the offseason, unlike with Jameis Winston, because when I asked about Winston, it was no. There was no wiggle room. When it came to Cam, it was as of right now. So I think, you know, they monitored him from jump. They talked to him right away when he got released. The price was too high. And as teams dried up and we get closer and closer to camp, the price came down. And it was one of those things. The notion, I know who the coach was. I'm not going to say who the head coach was. He also said that you can see them using all three quarterbacks. The only way they're using three quarterbacks is if somebody gets hurt or someone has the COVID or whatever. Like that's not and Cam Newton being sort of the whatever, what I forget the phrase.
Wild card quarterback.
Oh, I mean, come on. Like do we really think that Not that the Patriots wouldn't employ something like that, depending on the person, but do you think that Cam Newton wants to just be a wild card quarterback? I mean, I think Cam is here to win the job, and if he doesn't win the job, then it would not surprise me in the least bit if he's cut. So, you know, as for him being a wild card quarterback, I think that's nonsensical.
Mike Giardi of NFL Network joining us. To that end, do you view, Mike, as a team view, in your mind, is Cam a short-term the stopgap to give you an extra year of like a Garoppolo seasoning for Jarrett Stidham, or is there a long-term possibility with Cam in New England?
I think that's all on Stidham, right? I mean, I think, again, do they feel comfortable with what happens this year, the way he competes with Cam once Cam starts, if he gets an opportunity to play at some point because Cam gets hurt or something like that, then, you know, do they see enough there that says, well, are we okay with having a quarterback for $1 million, or do we want to franchise Cam Newton and pay him 30 something million dollars or sign him long term for, you know, $100+ million? I think ideally probably they would want Stidham to be the quarterback of the future, but you know, who knows? Cam could open eyes and change everything and then you say, man, you know, he can be our guy for the next, you know, whatever, 4 to 6 years.
Now, you know, the biggest question that everybody has is they're going to be football. And we talked to Ben Volen yesterday, and he said that, you know, he's hearing some whispers, or he talked to some people about possible protocols. He didn't really get into it about what could happen this season as far as, you know, players would have to do. Are you hearing anything about, you know, the season? Is it in jeopardy? Are they looking to push it back? I mean, what are some of the things that you're hearing in those inner circles as far as, you know, the NFL and how they're going to try to do their best to handle and deal with the coronavirus?
Yeah, I mean, they're continuing to press on as if it's going to happen, and it's going to happen the way that they want it to happen. I mean, obviously, potentially here with the preseason, you know, and I know there's a big meeting today because the PA is not necessarily certain that they want to have any preseason games because of the shortened offseason. But I would just say from my personal perspective, and again, this is not there's no inner office memos or anything like that. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around the notion that they can pull this off. And I know money is a driving force, and they will do everything they possibly can to make it happen. But I think what we know about the virus, and maybe 99% of these guys, they get it and it doesn't cause any long term, or they're asymptomatic and it's all. But at some point, some team, it's going to rip through their quarterback room, and it's going to rip through their offensive line. And maybe it happens on the same week. How are you playing? Are you forfeiting? Does the league want teams forfeiting games because of COVID? Are you going to the, you know, the emergency team? We've already heard Bruce Arians and a couple other coaches say they're talking about having a quarantine quarterback who would never come in the building and would do things through Zoom. And, you know, if in case of emergency, that you break glass and that guy comes in and plays the game. I don't know. That's the product suffers. And as I was saying before, the, you know, the 99%, well, what happens if there's that one guy that gets really sick? You know, there was, I saw there was a statistical analysis done of college football, and someone predicted between 3 and 7 deaths in college football because of the COVID. That's 3 to 7. That's 3 to 7 deaths too many. And I just wonder, like, what would happen if that happened in the NFL? I mean, you know, you had Corey Stringer in Minnesota, right, with the big lineman who dropped dead on the field and sort of changed the way they did protocol for training camp, right? The more hydration, more breaks. That was basically sort of the end of the 2-a-days. That's a tough thing to sell. And I wonder too, as we get closer and closer, how many players, and you're seeing it in other sports, how many players say, you know what, this isn't safe. You can't guarantee my safety. You know, I'm opting out. And we're talking about sports with smaller rosters and smaller personnel around it. With an NFL team, what's the bare minimum of people that you could get by with, you know, between coaches, training staff, support staff, 100, 115, 120. You can't bubble those people. And then you can't bubble all their family members and friends that they're coming in contact with. Like, it just strikes me as a huge number to overcome.
Yeah, Mike, that was my concern too regarding the players, not just being able to distance them at training, during training and at practice, but the guys that, you know, offensive linemen who put on all this weight, who may or may not have comorbidities that they do or don't know about, and then bringing it home to their families and anyone that their family is exposed to, it could just set off these incidental wildfires that not only will make the players uncomfortable, but like you said, you could get to a point where the fans now are concerned, or it taints their experience as well. But don't you think that the NFL looks at it like watered down or tainted product, you know, altered product or no product at all? They're going to go with the altered product because they just can't lose billions?
Yeah, no, I absolutely think they're going to try. And they will press forward, I think. That's my thing, is I think there's going to be a point where, you know, whether it's 10 teams that have this thing ripping through their squad and you're talking about no games, or you're talking about having to go to, you know, the deep practice squad, you know, the practice squad numbers are going to go higher, but they're probably not even high enough. That's when I wonder, you know, what the deal is. And you've heard, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago, the McCourty brothers, I think we can all agree, incredibly well-spoken, well-thought-of guys around the league.
Yep.
Influential in the PA, and even they're talking like, man, I don't know how this works, and I don't know what it's going to look like when we're all together. I don't know that we can pull this off. And that just sort of, again, raises a red flag to me about so many guys thinking like, what are we, you know, we need the money, but what are we really pressing forward here for, you know? And again, it's that one, you got to look at the one, is a one bad case, that one guy. If it happens, like, you know, how does the public react? How does the league react? How does the PA react? Like, that's just, there's a lot there.
Well, Mike, you mentioned players, and last one for me. I mean, we haven't talked enough about the football coaches. I mean, you talk about a couple guys, and there's the couple starting, couple head coaches, Belichick and Carroll in particular, in their 60s. Andy Reid, we have heard that, you know, obesity is a big issue with COVID-19, and obviously he's a bigger guy. What are the coaches saying about this? Because to me, they're much more at risk than the players are, and I don't think they're going to be able to coach the way they're used to coaching this year if we have football.
Yeah, I mean, and we haven't really heard much from that, and then maybe that's the league just saying, "Hey, guys, can you just, you know, we're trying to go forward with this. We're trying to create a show of power here and unity. But you're absolutely right. I mean, who's the offensive line coach for the Browns that we all was about the only good thing about Hard Knocks a couple of years ago?
Oh, the one who's got moved when he said Seth Hutt. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to be at risk, right? I mean, I think Tom Moore helps out with the Buccaneers. He's in his 80s.
Yeah.
So there is that definitely that factor. And I mean, again, so Bill Belichick gets it and he can't coach a game. Like that's what I mean. That's what I think the league just has a lot to overcome here. And it would be nice to see these other leagues get started and see how maybe they deal with some of the things that are going to come up beforehand. But I thought that was going to happen a little earlier than it has. So we're going to have a little bit less time for data and for watching the other leagues to see how and if they can make it work.
Mike, I got to get this in. Hillman would not let me forget this. He's got a bet with Curran. Does Tom Brady have a house in Connecticut?
I stand by, Ken, what I reported many moons ago.
And that's a confirm, right? He does have a house.
I stand by what I reported. I stand by it.
Okay. Curran's got to pay up. Dinner on the line.
You'll hear that sound again next week, I'm sure, when Curran Greg is back.
Curran is not going to pay up. Just let it be. water under the bridge.
Mike, good insight, sobering insight about the NFL. But we appreciate the time and have a good fourth.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Girardi, NFL Network, joining us here on the Harbor One Hotline. And I mean,
no football.
I mean, it's a sobering conversation, and he is tied in. He works with the NFL Network. They have much more information right now than we do. Not even on the record information, you guys, but like in radio, we all gossip. Right. So the NFL Network, guess what they're talking about?
They gossip.
Is there going to be football? Right. What do the players think? What do the coaches think? I mean, that sounds like a guy who thinks there's going to be football.
Well, one of my leads a while back was, what is the line that the NFL is willing to go up to but not cross?
Can we go back and talk about that?
Sure.
Is that okay with you? We're a little bit backed up, so let's come back. Because there's a coach dying might be that line. Coach dying might be the end.
Right. But I think besides the death,
All right, we'll come back and discuss with Wiggy and Fitzy. It's the final hour of the Greg Hill Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.